What's up, y'all? This is Rommel Watley, and welcome to Truckin' Hustle, the podcast for truckin' entrepreneurs. If you want to learn about the trucking industry from the business side of things, you're in the right place. Every week, I interview the people who are making it happen on a daily basis. I get them to share their successes, their failures, and sometimes even their secrets. The goal is to show you how you too can create financial freedom in the booming trucking industry. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
We had the blueprint, and I was, you know, like I said, what Vaughn taught us, and this is a guy who was doing it. And I think to learn from guys like that who were actually out in the field doing it, it's just like a step-by-step process. And I always notate that, the, you know, almost like baking a cake, or whether, you know, you put your steps into place and you start from A to Z, you know? Once I started executing the steps, I seen everything just start to come together.
Turn my mic up.
Where you?
Take there. Yeah, yeah. On the road to the riches. Life takes a toll like bridges. Good friends become foes and snitches. Better watch who knows in your business. All right, South Carolina, come on and raise up. All right, listen, y'all, Hustle Fam, we are in the building with another amazing episode. And today, all the way from SC, South Carolina, I got my man Demetrius Martin with 250 Logistics.
That's right.
I was going to say my man 250 Logistics, but I didn't say your name first.
That's okay.
Right.
A lot of people call me 250. It's an old nickname,
man. Is that right?
Yeah.
Where's that come from, the 250?
It came from a good friend, Demetrius Anderson. Real good friend. We grew up childhood from the same neighborhood.
Okay.
Juanita Butler Center, which is an area of Greenville, South Carolina. Smurf has since passed on, but he gave me a name and it just
250.
Stuck. Yeah. It's
one, so that's why you named the company 250
that's
Logistics.
Right. I wanted that to carry on.
Where did 250 come from though? What's the etymology behind
it? It was a weird thing when we were always in our neighborhood. You know how, you know, the neighborhood kids always just make a name up for you.
Yeah.
And he just said, I'm gonna call you Big 250. And it just stuck. I ain't never been a big guy, nothing like
right,
I guess, you know, just my presence or whatever.
It sounds like a cool name though, 250. I like it a lot. Yeah. All right, cool, man. So we're going to get into the whole story, man. 250 Logistics, just to kind of put some context around it real quick. Tell the audience about your company, you know, 250 Logistics. Give us an idea like what you do.
Okay. So 250 Logistics is a trucking company, general dry van freight. We run through the southeastern region, run about 12 states. We since shortened that down since COVID, but we run general dry van freight. Pretty much just, you know, anything that you can load into the back of a truck. It's commercial freight, so we run broker loads with the load board and things of that nature.
Okay, how much trucks you guys have now?
We have 22 trucks as of now.
Okay. Or owned? You have guys leased on or?
No.
All your own trucks?
Yeah.
Okay.
All of my own.
And how long you guys been in business?
We've been in business for about 5 years.
All right. Pretty dope. All right, cool. Let's get into the story, man. Let's start from the beginning. So South Carolina, man, tell me, how was it growing up in SC?
SC was, it's just like any other place, I guess you would say, but it's fun. I love Greenville. I love South Carolina. It's really laid back. The weather is nice there. We sit in a corridor there. It sits almost in the middle of Charlotte and Atlanta there. And it's pretty much a textile community. And
what's that mean?
Factories.
You saying big words. What's textile community mean?
So textile is like factories.
Okay.
You know?
I knew that. I just wanted to let the audience
cool.
know.
Yeah.
so a lot of factories and all that.
So, which makes good for trucking. So
yeah.
That's what type of community it is. We got Clemson University there, of course.
Okay.
BMW is there, and it's, you know, it's a small town feel, but you know, with a big, it's growing a lot now.
Got you. So what type of kid were you?
What type of kid was I?
Yeah.
I was kind of the quiet kid, I would say.
Okay.
Kind of, you know, I was a little smart, I'm not gonna lie.
Grew up in the 80s, 90s?
80s.
Okay.
Yeah,
80s
yeah.
baby.
I'm an 80s baby for sure.
All right. So tell me about growing up. Were you getting into trouble? Were you running around
knocking people heads in. What was I doing?
Like one of those quiet kids. I'm not gonna.
Because you're not a big guy, but you look like you might have a little bit of something to you.
I did get into trouble a little bit. I'm not gonna lie. You know, I started off in the streets. Was really smart kid, like I say, and growing up we seen street stuff. We in the neighborhood, so that's one of the things that I look to. You see the guys in the street kind of winning, and while I was, you know, educated and smart, I just kind of took the wrong route starting off. But, you know, I kind of learned my lesson, you know, got in trouble a few times.
So, okay.
And, but I tell you this, some things work out to your benefit because I got to meet a lot of cool people who taught me a lot of things, you know. So
okay.
I was one of the younger kids that always kind of hung around older guys, you know. So
got it.
Had like a old soul, so to speak.
Okay, got it. Did you go to college or anything like that?
No, never went to college. Graduated high school.
Okay.
That's...
After high school, what'd you do?
In the streets, I'm not gonna lie, you know?
All right, got it.
Yeah, I was in the streets and I got in trouble and I went to prison a couple of times.
How long were you in prison?
My first stint, I would say, was about 5 years. The second stint was federal time, and it was serious. I did over 10 years.
Oh, wow. So yeah. 15 years combined.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Man, tell me about that, man. What was that experience like?
It was a humbling experience. Scary at the same time, you know, with
how old were you when you went in initial, first?
The first time when I went in, I was 19 years old. Yeah.
Okay. Real young, man. You're still a baby.
Yeah, I was. I actually graduated high school from, you know, okay. from behind bars.
Okay.
Actually. So came out of there, I was 23 years old. Wanted to do something different, but you know, I just didn't have how can I say it? I didn't know what to do. You know, I didn't have any skill sets. And I think that's where a lot of the youth has a downfall at. We don't really have anything to offer for ourselves that will propel us, you know, going into society in the career field, so to speak.
Yeah.
So that's what the second. So eventually, and I worked when I came out, tried to do odd jobs.
Try to figure it out.
Yeah.
Right. What'd you do? What type of odd jobs did you do?
I did. I delivered furniture.
Okay.
One thing was, and I did construction.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, and I liked the construction because I wasn't confined to a space. I don't like factory jobs,
right.
You know, where you kind of just 9 to 5 all day working on a line or something.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
So I worked with the cable company. We did cable burials, things like that, operated machinery and things of that nature before I kind of relapsed because it wasn't enough money, you know?
Understood.
To be honest with you.
And
from what I've seen, most people will revert back to what they know if you don't have a, an onset to do something different or something new that's going to, you know, bring money to you or whatever the case that can support you. So I relapsed, and that time I really got deep into it and was caught up in a conspiracy and and went to prison
for 10 years.
Yes sir.
So this time going in, I'm sure you're like, man, I'm here again.
Yep.
I got to do something different this time, this next time I get out. Like, what are you doing to educate yourself? What are you thinking about during that 10 years?
So during that 10 years, that 10-year tender, I tell you this, the federal system is different. You meet a lot of white collar people. You meet a lot of people that are, you know, business owners, successful people by certain rights that, you know, they just did whatever they did and they got in trouble.
Yeah.
But they have an education, a continuing education system in there where basically we teach each other.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How does that work?
Yeah, so if, like, say, for instance, you have Truck and Hustle podcast, your profession is podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
You might teach a class on how to set up podcasts and be successful, you know, podcasting.
Okay.
You have guys that are, you know, maybe study law or guys that have trucking companies, so to speak.
Oh,
Yeah.
So you have different guys in there setting up their own classes, and then you have the other guys in there attending those classes.
And you literally, you know, you sit in there and it's like school. It was like college for me, literally.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I learned so much, just not on the trucking side, but just about economics and how, you know, the systems work out here in society.
Okay.
And so, yeah. So
where were you at?
I was at, I started off in actually in Tucson, Arizona.
Tucson, okay.
Yep, Tucson, Arizona. I was in the medium out there. And then I, after my level dropped a little bit, sent me to Butner, which is in North Carolina.
Okay.
And I got good education there, but Maxwell Air Force Base in Montgomery, Alabama is where it took off.
Gotcha. Okay? What happened there?
That was like, it was so many educated people there. And I even had the pleasure to learn from one of the guys that was in the Enron scandal.
Actually. Really?
I'm not gonna call his name.
No, I got you. Yeah. It's funny. Yeah. I was gonna say, but were there any like notable people,
man,
that you were?
A lot of notable people there. A lot of them, okay? So I'm talking about white collar people. You'll be surprised. And these guys are like regular guys, you know. We all regular. We got to eat, sleep, and you know the same thing, you know,
right,
every day in and day out for some of us for years. And the guy from Enron did more time than I did.
Right.
But good guy. And this guy, we learned different languages back then. Now I picked up a little bit of Spanish, but he taught Spanish and he taught economics, stocks, and
Enron guy.
Investment. Yeah,
he was teaching everything. Man, Spanish, listen, economics,
that was like
stocks.
His get back to society to teach, right, you know, young black guys like ourselves how to go out there and conduct ourselves and how the system really works.
That's wild.
And you know, you got some guys that sit back there and play cards all day and watch TV. I wasn't one of those guys.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, there was a group of us, and we're tight knit even to this day. I got a couple of brothers. Shout out to Theo from Miami, and Jones. Jones is from Miami as well. And
okay.
All of us are in the trucking game now.
Oh, that's dope.
But we learned from Vaughn. Shout out to Vaughn. Vaughn is from Mississippi, and he is the one that brought us together with the trucking game and just gave us the dynamics of how to set the business up. Not only how to set the business up, how to move your trucks in an efficient manner where to pay you and take care of you.
So now this is why you was down.
This is why
Vaughn was in there teaching y'all.
Yeah, Vaughn was in
That's
there.
Why.
Yeah.
That's
all of
why.
Us are out now doing it. We out here doing
including Vaughn.
Yeah, including Vaughn.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah.
That's dope. You know, we have a very huge imprint inside the prison system.
Yeah.
Over 200,000 incarcerated people listen to this podcast. So
wow.
Shout to y'all, man.
Yeah,
you know, this
sure
is confirmation that, you know, you can make it happen.
You
can make it happen. All right, so let's continue the story. So you educate yourself during this 10-year bid in the feds. You with the Enron guy, you learned about economics, you learned about capitalism, you learning from Vaughn about trucking.
That's right.
A little bit of everything. You come out there with a master's degree.
Yeah, I feel like
a BA in all type of life, right?
Yeah.
All right, what year you get out?
So I got out, it was 2017 I got out.
Okay.
Yep, May of 2017, I'm in halfway house, Greenville, South Carolina. My sister, I have to go live with my sister. Shout out to my twin sister, Letitia Martin, by the way.
Okay, it's a lot of shout outs in this episode.
I got to give it to her.
He giving a lot of people love. I like that.
Yeah, so I live with my sister. Literally, you know, she gave me a bed to sleep in until I could get myself together because I literally lost everything, you know. And it's tough coming out and starting over. And my, you know, I always keep a heart for guys, you know, because I know what it's like to come out and start over like that. But stayed with my sister while I was in halfway house, where eventually they let me go to her house on home confinement. I went to, got permission from my PO. I went to school, actually, during the day. I came home with the Class B license, by the way, which I got in Maxwell.
Okay.
But I had to upgrade that to a Class A license.
Got it. So you got your license while you was okay, in Maxwell. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm going to tell you how God works. So I got the Class B. I came home. That put me in a seat to get an automatic job, you know, with the B license. It was a better job than I would have got had I had nothing.
Right. How long did it take you to get working?
I got working like 2 weeks. I went to the city of Greenville. I
got you.
Trash truck. Yeah, sanitation.
So the record didn't impact you at all?
No. Most CDL jobs, unless you did something really, really drastic.
Something heinous.
Yeah. They don't really care about, you know, you street guy.
Facts.
Stuff like that.
Facts.
You ain't did no fraud or,
right,
you know, or of course, maybe kill somebody or something like that.
Yeah.
But you can get a job right off doing CDL because it's about your skill set. They don't really care about anything.
For sure. Nah, it makes sense, man. So you working for the trash company?
Yeah, I worked for the trash company during the day. And had to go to school at night because I didn't have any time, couldn't do the day class. So I did that for about 9 weeks. By that time I was done with Halfway House, got my CDL Class A license, got permission from my PO to go over the road. Because once you get that Class A license, a lot of guys don't know this, but you have to do something. Yeah, you got to go right. Get the on-the-road training.
The license is only as good as the experience.
Yeah, exactly. So went on the road for about 30 days, got my credit was pretty decent coming out as well. I put in for a loan. My sister loaned me some money, and I had a friend that loaned me a little bit of money as well, and I went and...
All right, guys, Truck and Hustle has now partnered with Transpo CFO, powered by Venning. Transpo CFO offers a streamlined monthly subscription for businesses to consolidate their accounting, payroll, and tax needs into one flat monthly rate, saving businesses a tremendous amount of time and money while making their financial operations much smoother for the long road ahead. Check out Transpo CFO in the description below and tell them Truck and Hustle sent you. Now, let's get back to the show.
I took the blueprint that Vaughn and Jones and all of us studied, and I put it to work, and I ain't stopped working since.
Okay,
I'm talking about, I'm 5 years out. And
so how long did you work for the garbage company?
I worked for them for about, I would say for about, maybe about 6 months.
Six months?
And
not long. And you say you're going to school at night. Where are you going to school for?
Yeah, I went to Greenville Technical College. Got my Class A CDL.
Oh, okay. So you're going to school for your class A. I got it. That went over my head.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay.
So once I upgraded the license, I went and got the training for, because you got to know how to go out. How to move your truck going across the state lines. You have to stop. There's an etiquette. You have to stop at the scale houses. You got to know how to move in the truck stops. Know how to distribute your weight on the tandems. Right. It's a lot of little stuff, which, by the way, we offer course training. We do have a course.
Okay.
For starting your trucking company, and the dispatch course is coming.
We'll get to that.
Soon. Yeah.
We'll get to that.
So anyway, once I got the 30 days of training, and they pay you pennies, man. You don't make anything when you first start out, but it's
about— What were you making?
I was 17 cents a mile.
17 cents. Who were you driving for?
And this was for Pascal, PTL.
Okay.
They're out of Paducah,
I'm familiar.
Kentucky.
PTL. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're paying you 17 cents a mile?
17 cents a mile is what I started
with. Were you with a trainer?
I was with a trainer. Okay. Yeah. And I was with a good trainer. He was a good Muslim brother, as a matter of fact, Latif.
Okay.
And he's out of Virginia. Shout out to Latif as well.
No doubt.
And he trained me well, was very patient with me, gave me what I needed. Once I seen that, you know, I'm already on the business aspect. So once I got the funding to do what I needed, I went to one of the local dealers, Carolina International, in Greenville, South Carolina. And the dealer, which is critical, he hooked me up, man. He got me into a unit. Not only did he get me into a truck, and this is important to note, and I didn't know the blessing that he did for me at that time, but he hooked me up with one of the biggest financial resources in the country.
Okay.
Okay, and which was BMO Finance.
Okay.
They do transportation financing, and they help you literally grow your business. So I got the finance for my truck, got the truck, put the truck to the ground, and then, you know, all the other stuff comes into play.
Got it. All right, stop there real quick. I want to go back to Latif real quick, your trainer. What was the biggest takeaway from that training? How long were you with them?
I was with Latif for about 3 to 4 weeks. It wasn't that long.
Okay, quick.
But we were, you know, you on the road.
Right.
Straight on the road. Ain't no going home.
You got to know him really well during that time.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the biggest takeaway from that training when you went on the road?
The biggest takeaway from that training was just, like I say, the etiquette and learning how to maneuver the truck in and out of certain places.
Okay.
You know, you have to. These are things you have to learn, even coming out of school, because that's a lot of equipment. You know,
were you comfortable behind the wheel?
I was comfortable. I got comfortable once. Like,
I mean, I know like the B is different than A. You know, when you're driving them, saying you're hooking up, it's a little bit of a different drive.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it is. So Latif, once he seen I could drive at night, which was funny because I trained at night. A lot of people can't handle the nightlife with driving because, you know, you get sleepy. Tired. Yeah, yep. Exactly. It's a natural thing. And once Latif seen I could drive at night, he had me practically made me drive every night. So, which was good because it was good for the training. I'm going to tell you something. If you can learn how to drive at night, driving during the day is nothing because you can't, your vision is different. You can't see.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So we were.
That was natural for you though.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So then you say you just stopped working for that company, PTL?
I did,
So you were just ready. You were like, yo, I want to get my own truck. What made you so confident that you could do that so fast, man?
We had the blueprint and I was, you know, like I said, what Vaughn taught us, and this is a guy who was doing it. And I think to learn from guys like that who were actually out in the field doing it, it's just like a step-by-step process. And I always notate that, the, you know, almost like baking a cake or whether, you know, you put your steps into place and you start from A to Z, you know? Once I started executing the steps, I seen everything just start to come together.
Okay. So you said you went to get financing and you got BMO financing. You said, yeah. What's the dealer you went to?
Carolina International.
Okay. Shout to them.
Yeah.
And you said they hooked you up with a financial institution. You didn't even know they were hooking you up. What was so important about that? Why they hook you up with them?
I'm going to tell you what's very, this is a good question.
Yeah.
BMO Finance has played 80% of the role in my growth in growing our fleet from one truck
to 22.
To 22 and over 30 trailers, you know. So it's a lot of equipment,
That's a hell of a lot of equipment.
Yeah, exactly. At this day and age, especially with pricing and things of that nature, you know, and there and you can go to my Instagram and see where we're pulling off some of these units, three and four at a time.
Yeah.
And so you talking about a company, once you build a standing with them, financial resources are very, very important when you're growing your business for that particular reason, because you're able to utilize your credit and leverage yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. And yeah, you might be worth a couple of $100,000 or whatever the case, but when you leverage that, you're worth over $1 million after that.
That's a fact.
And you can put the resources to the ground and generate income, which makes you grow even more.
Why'd they believe in you? Why'd they give you a shot like that?
Well, they, you know, I ain't gonna say it was a Hail Mary, but you know, they gave me a shot, man, and I took advantage of it.
Did you walk in there with anybody or just by yourself?
I walked in there by myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so. Got it. So that's 2017.
Yep, 2017.
First truck, you buy one truck?
One truck.
What'd you get?
I think it was a 2012 Peterbilt.
Okay.
386 model, yeah.
Got you. So used truck. You remember how much you paid for it?
I do remember how much I paid. I paid about $35,000 for that truck, and they actually wanted more than that, and I couldn't afford it.
Okay.
So the dealer he gave me some type of incentive deal where he marked it down.
Okay.
And I was able to get the unit.
All right, so you secure your first truck. What do you do then?
Yep. Once I secured my first unit,
And you don't have a trailer at this time, right?
No, I don't have a trailer.
Okay.
And shout out to Paveway Express, Justin Jenkins. He let me use a trailer. He gave me a trailer to use. Okay.
Let you lease it for
he
free.
He charged me a dime.
On the strength?
On the strength.
The homeboy hookup?
Yeah.
My man.
He did that. Yeah. He gave me a trailer. I got started. Not only did he give me a trailer, he was pivotal in playing a role in my first broker contract. Okay. Which was with the local grocery segment. It was Bilo. Then it's CNS Wholesale Grocers, but they supplied all the Bilos,
okay.
Piggly Wiggly's, Winn-Dixie's, things of that nature. Bilo has since been bought out by Food Lion now, but I got a broker contract there, and the game was over after that.
This was your first contract?
This was my first. It's a broker contract.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah, I got
so
you.
It was through a broker. So
through a broker. You're not
it
directly
wasn't direct,
you're not direct know? With them, but it's
yeah,
through a broker.
Yeah, exactly.
A good relationship.
Good relationship.
And he connected you with them?
He connected me with the broker that put me in that slot. Once he did that, the work was there. I literally slept in that parking lot. Okay. Literally. Yeah, I would run my route. Come back, because they were paying us X amount of dollars daily. So you got to think, I'm coming from making $500 weekly to making over $1,000 a day. Okay?
Yeah.
So, and I'm a hustler. You know, like I told you, came from the street. So that money was there, I wasn't coming away from it. Yeah. So,
this is with one truck still.
This was with one truck, but during that segment, like I say, I had the business mindset, and then he gave us the game for multiplication, which is what the game is. It's multiplication. So once I did that, I got up enough money, and I went and bought another truck. Okay. I hired another driver, and now me and my second driver, we running neck and neck. We almost competing with each other, but we independent, you know?
Right.
So with the company, which was a blessing. And so we ran like that.
Where'd you find the driver?
Indeed. Yeah, Indeed, okay. Craigslist. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So. That must have been different hiring somebody. Now you're a boss. You got people working for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Must have been an interesting transition.
Yeah, it definitely was. So, and just, you know, like you say, the hiring segment, learning how to work with people in that nature. So.
Yeah. So you said now you guys are running neck and neck. You got two now.
That's right. So we're running neck and neck. The money's doubled now. So the contract starts to slow down now a little bit. And by this time.
And what's the name of that company again?
It was CNS Wholesale.
CNS Gross. Wholesale. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, which is in Greenville, South Carolina.
Got it.
So once that started to dry out, I'm at the third truck. I go ahead and complete the phase to buy the third truck. Hired another driver. By this time, it slowed down, so I had to go back to the basics because before then, I just would route myself on the load board, which is that. So the load board, just so you know, to explain to the audience, the load board is basically a syndicate of loads. It's people put their loads on there, and they need to move from A to Z, okay, brokers. Mm-hmm. And you just call in, you negotiate a rate, and you run the load for them, okay? You give them your company information, and you go from there and just go pick up the load. Once the load is completed, you go through your factoring company, if you have a factoring company, for billing, and then you can get paid the same day, basically.
Yeah.
Submit your billing invoice, and it's done, you know?
Okay. Now you were running dry stuff for them?
Yeah. No. Actually,
I was going to say, because that's right.
That's a good catch. Yeah, it is. They do have dry segments, but most of the stuff was refrigerated.
Okay, but you were using their trailers. Got it.
That's exactly right.
But you did say you didn't have the trailer. Well, yep. Well, at first you got the one drive in from your guy.
Yeah.
But you started pulling their trailers, reefer trailers.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So. All right. So continue. Tell me how you continue to grow.
Yeah. So once the broker segment slowed down with CNS, they were putting us on standby and the money kind of slowed down. I was like, hey, I'm going to just go back to doing what I do best, which is book loads, you know?
Okay.
So I eventually came all the way out of the truck. I put a third driver in my truck, my first truck that I bought. And now I'm sitting back just routing. Okay. I will route the units.
Okay. How many trucks is on the road now with you? Three?
Yeah, three.
Three total.
Three time. Yeah.
Three total, three drivers, and you're dispatching those guys.
And I'm just dispatching them, and we're running all over. We're running from, you know, Greenville, South Carolina. We would go as far north as Pennsylvania, and we would go as far south as Texas, Florida. We were touching the Florida. Didn't go too far down into Florida because the rates are really, really bad there. So coming out.
Right.
Going in, they're good, but coming out. So we ran about 12 states at that moment in time.
Okay.
And
how'd you figure out what states you wanted to run?
You know what? I did it from when I was over the road, like for its comfortability of the road. You know, you got some mountainous regions and things like that. And then you look at the rates too with different states, just like I stated about Florida. Mm-hmm. Some states just pay more to go in and out of, you know? So that's what we tried to concentrate on. It's a formula at the end of the day, you know?
Got you.
Yeah.
So you're working the load boys. You got the three trucks there. And so you don't have any direct contracts at this time.
No direct.
Because the other one slowed up the way.
That's right.
It's dry. It's done.
That's right.
All right. So you're running the load board. Continue. Tell me.
Yep. So we're running the load board. Everything is consistent. We got the ups and downs. Eventually, I hired my sister because I need help for dispatch. She was laid off from a job at Charter Communications, which is Spectrum, the local cable provider there.
Okay.
Yeah. And so she got laid off. I said, hey, just, you know, come in with me, you know? And I was nervous about that because I didn't know that I would
be able to support her.
Exactly. And that's, you know, that's my sister, my family, and I don't want to, you know, you playing with people's livelihood.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so, but man, it was just a tremendous blessing, and we were successful with it. But when she came in, she literally brought a whole new dynamic, because it's like you get to see, it's nothing like having great team members first and foremost, okay? Because they allow you to see things from a different perspective, okay? And it just makes things better. So she helped me to start growing the units, and we were able to hire more drivers. And then COVID hit.
Okay.
So COVID was different. And with this business—
How large were you guys when COVID hit?
COVID hit, I would say we maybe had about six trucks then.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So when COVID hit,
still working on the load board.
Yep, we're still working on the load board, but everything literally dries up.
Right.
You know, because factories shutting down, restaurants shutting down, there's no product to pick up and deliver because everybody's shutting down. So what we did was we ran a lot of rubber and things of that nature, rubber and paper from Louisiana at that time. That's what we were doing from Baton Rouge, as a matter of fact, up into Michelin, which is in Greenville, which creates tires. That's right. So we were running those loads, and then we hired another guy, one of our other drivers. He was like, you know, I'm just starting back. I don't want to really go over the road like that. I said, you know what? And I told my sister, Leticia, I said, Tisha, we're just going to try something. We're going to run from Greenville, South Carolina to Atlanta, Georgia here and back. Because, like I say, it's about formulas. And with the shorter miles, they pay more. But a lot of times, you can't get loaded going and coming. So that was the task. If we could do that, we would actually make more money than just going 600 straight miles, okay? We could do 400, you know, 200 down and 200 back and make more money, okay?
Right.
And once we did that with him, it was, you know, catching it, because you got to book, you booking these loads.
Yeah, I was going to say, how were you able to book that?
Yeah,
right?
Everything has to plug in for us.
Exactly.
Time, the driver's hours, you know, everything has to be almost perfect. So the first week, you know, we kind of had some bumps and bruises, but the second week he started hitting his stops. And then by the time we're into the third week, I was like, man, this guy has half the fuel and his truck is grossing more than the trucks running 600 miles every day.
Right. Were you able to find consistent stop coming back or pickup coming back?
Exactly. Okay. And so, yeah. So at that time, like I say, the freight slowed up. So we got in. A lot of, you know, groceries were still running, okay?
For sure.
People had to eat tissue and water, okay? So we did a lot of tissue and water. We have about two tissue paper towel distributors there. One in Shelby, North Carolina there, and one in Anderson, South Carolina.
Okay.
So we run a lot of tissue with them. We got CG Roxanne, which is in Salem, South Carolina, just below Anderson. And they produce water up there. They actually have a spring. It's natural water. Really good water, too,
okay.
As a matter of fact.
Yeah, back there sipping water. take a little break.
Yeah, so that's all we ran was water and tissue.
Yep. Okay. This was during COVID.
Yep, this was during COVID.
And I was able to kind of get you guys back going.
And we made it back through, of course, with, you know, the government assistance.
Yeah.
They came in and we survived it. Not only did we survive COVID, we grew in COVID. I think when we came out of COVID, we were at about 10 trucks.
Okay.
Yeah, and they were selling trucks really dirt cheap.
Yeah, yeah,
too,
it was giving them away.
That. So, yeah.
Somebody please take these trucks.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was just, man, our story is just, it's crazy, you know?
Yeah.
When you think about it. But like I say, I can't stress how much of a blessing it was, you know?
No doubt. All right, so you start, you have the hit during COVID, you come back around, things start building back up. You say you had like 10 trucks, you go to like 10 trucks.
Yes, sir.
Still kind of working with the same formula? Is that still the same formula?
Still working with the same formula. At this time, when we come out of COVID, things start to pick up,
diversify, you know, a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you start changing up in the game plan?
So so we started looking for, you know, just doing, like I say, formulas with the different shippers and receivers that we go into, time consumption, time management. We started kind of capitalizing on things of that nature. And then we set, you know, we always set quotas for each individual unit. So once we started to
tell me about that, what's your quota?
So normally a quota for and it depends on, you know, your economic circumstances. Like now things are starting to slow down a little bit. Mm-hmm. But usually if you can get about, you know, an average of five to seven grand, you know, per truck, you're doing well. Okay.
Yep. It's weekly.
Yeah. Weekly.
Okay.
So
got it.
Yeah.
So that's your quota, and that's what you're trying to reach. In order to reach that quota, what does a truck really typically have to do?
So
during that time.
Yeah. During that time, a truck, like how we run now, a truck would actually have to do at least, I would say, 5 to 7 routes.
Okay.
Depending on what, you know, we get paid for them, of course.
Right.
So they complete those routes, go down and back, and we have another situation going on now as well, and that's with the, matter of fact, the Costco here in Atlanta.
Okay.
Which is really good. It's same, basically the same thing, groceries.
Gotcha.
So it's sustained us, you know, for a time now, and we're still on that. But once they run back and forth, they meet their routes, you really can't go wrong with that.
So. Got it. So as you start growing, you diversified into reefer trailers as well? Or you still
I never preferred refrigerated units because of the liabilities aspect of it. You know, those reefers could go out.
Yeah.
And then you know you would have
they shut off plan. And you do have issues with reefer trailers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money in reefer trailers too,
sir,
though. Yep. You know?
It is.
Groceries, you know, people don't stop eating, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So all right, cool. So you keep on doing the dry and you say Costco. You're doing dry goods with Costco
and
all that?
Yep.
Okay. Cool. So tell me about how you continue to grow, because you're at like 20 something trucks now, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we were at about 10, I would say, coming out of COVID. Once we came out of that, we just started to keep scaling the company. So we would add 2 or 3 trucks here, 2 or 3 trucks there.
Okay.
The last addition we made was about 4 weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah, we added 5 more units.
How do you know when it's time to add more units on?
So what I do is I always go off of my driver availability, okay? I'm not one of those guys who will go out and buy a truck and I don't have anyone to move it. So once I see, because we're confident and we can move the truck because it's brokered freight, okay? So the lows are up there.
Right.
And that's one of the things that me and my sister have gotten good at. And I always tell her, I said, you know, we can go work for a Fortune 500 company and probably make 6 or 7 figures a year just, you know, doing routes. That's how good we got at moving the units,
yeah.
You know? So, which is dispatching. So once we get a driver in and I see that we can fill the seat, I'll go for the financing, BMO, and they haven't told me no yet.
Okay? Got it. What type of financing options do they give you?
So most of the time I'll go with a traditional financing option. That would depend upon your credit, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll put a percentage down, which in good cases would be about 10%.
Okay.
And, you know, if you're just starting out or you're not, you know, they don't know you yet, it might be up to 20, 25, 30%.
Okay.
Down, which is what I had to put down. Yeah, when I first started out with them.
When you first got started.
Yeah, I had to put down 20%.
Okay, wow.
So, you know, as I built my relationship with them, of course, they play ball with you then, and they see that you'll stand up, you know, in business and that you can handle yourself.
Yeah.
And so, and I would try them. You got to push the card. You always have to push the card. And you ask for more, you know? So instead of asking for 1, 2 trucks, eventually I started asking for 3 at a time.
Gotcha.
And then this last time I went, I asked for 4 of them. Normally you would wait about, you know, sometimes about 6 months before you go in between buys, just to, you know what I'm saying, show a little history.
Yeah.
So
have you financed all your trucks, you never leased?
Never lease my trucks.
Okay.
No, I financed.
Any
all
reason
of them.
Why you'd be opposed to leasing? It's just never really been an option.
There's nothing
for you.
Really wrong with leasing. I always look at everything as I always look at my escape. I look at my units as real estate almost. You know, if I want to call it quits today and just leave or whatever the case may be, and I had to liquidate all my assets, which is my equipment and, you know, a few other things, but I could sell those trucks that I own outright or at least have a majority of interest in and I could take something back with me. With a leasing, you know, you can't do that because you don't own the truck, you know?
Okay. What type of trucks do you look for typically?
Typically, at first, and that's a really good question. At first, you know, I would start out with certain year model trucks. I wouldn't have went below, you know, more than 5 years below with some trucks, because when they really, it's the mileage. Okay, so typically when a commercial unit gets to about 700,000 miles, you're going to start to have some serious problems with that. So you'll have to go into the motor and just do a lot of preventative stuff.
Right.
So typically I like to get my units, if I'm going to buy a used unit, between the $300,000 mile range to maybe, you know, 455 at the most. Okay. I would say, because the way we've equated it, you'll get about 100,000 miles per year.
Okay.
So I always look at it as, if I buy a truck and I'm financing it for 3 years and I buy it with 300,000 miles on it, it's going to, and which it'll pay for itself in probably a year and a half, 2 years. And then, you know, if it does go down, and I've had it happen, if it does, the motor go out or blow out, at best or at worst, you'll just break even. Okay.
Yeah.
And you're really not breaking even because you made money off of it, you
right,
know?
Right. Right.
So, that's my, you know, math and how
Do you buy new at all?
You know what? We're looking into that now. I never bought a new truck,
okay,
but I think it's like it's levels to it almost, you know?
What and you mean? Expound on that.
Yeah. So with us, like I said, we started out, you know, small, you know, and you can start out with a new unit, but that's tough because that's a lot of money, you know, to put down on a new unit. But when you're looking at it far as growth and you have enough financing power to do something like that, and you literally, and you built the momentum behind your business to where, you know, you're confident in moving the unit, you have a history that, you know, that you can produce income, then it becomes a matter of, you know, you put a new unit on the ground and it'll literally pay for itself, you know?
Mm.
So, and it's more efficient, you know, in most cases, you know, you don't have to, not too much downtime with maintenance and things of that nature, which any truck can go down. I've seen brand new units go to the shop.
Yeah.
So, but it's just less. And that's why I prefer newer units, you know,
yeah.
Within that range. It's just less hassle with them, because before when we had trucks with 500,000 and 600,000 miles. We got nightmare stories. Truck coming back up the road, yeah, blow the motor, rod, blow out the block, all everywhere, and I might have to have the unit towed from two states over back to the house, you know, just to salvage it, you know?
Yeah.
So these are things you have to think about when you're in business, you know, but you can't have the good without the bad or vice versa.
For sure,
you know?
For sure. What do you think has been the key to your growth and your success, if you had to put you know, one thing was responsible for it, what would you say?
The key to my growth is just staying consistent. And consistency is a big thing, not getting spread too thin. Don't lose focus, you know? Because a lot of people, I feel like there's levels of success when you start a business, you know? People will, you know, when you might reach that first level, but that might not be what God has intended you. You know, that's not where you're stopping at, you know? And people right. start to try to spread out then. No, I want to try this now. I want to try that now, you know? And you kind of take a little bit of focus or a little bit of momentum from what you're doing, you know? And you on a track. So you don't want to, you know, stop to look at the roses yet. You got to, you know what I'm saying? Keep that momentum and keep that forward stride. And the second thing that I'll say has been the key to my success is, hands down, my team members. Yeah, my drivers, my sister, and all the people who do everything in the background for us, you know?
Got it. You said that you and your sister, y'all are really great at dispatching the loads. You said you could probably go to another company and you'll move them trucks.
Yeah, yes,
give us some of those keys to when you're dispatching trucks. What are some of the things you think about? What are some of the things that make you able to... what's the word I'm looking for? Optimize routes, you know,
yeah,
and so forth.
Yeah,
so
forth. Maximize potential.
Yeah, maximize
I like that.
Potential, yeah.
Yep. So some of the key things that you want to look for when you maximize the capacity with a truck, you want to first you have to look at, it's a lot of segments. You're going to look at your driver's hours of service, which you know a driver can only drive for so many hours a day.
Yep.
And he can only work for so many hours a day. You want to plug that in. You want to look at also the rate per mile. You look at that rate per mile and you ask yourself, is it worth it to, you know, do this or do that? Some loads you can book, they might, you might can pick up the same day and deliver it straight through, which would give you enough time to possibly pick up another load. So that's a double rate for the day, whether you deliver it or not, you know. And then you want to look at also the shippers and receivers that you're going into. Because you have some shippers and receivers that are terrible with loading and unloading. And you might be in there for half that driver's hours.
What's the ones you want to stay away from?
Some of the ones you want to stay away from.
not to put them on blast, but they know who they are.
Yeah. So some of the ones you want to stay away from, I'm not going to lie, CNS, wholesale grocers, what we are, they're terrible. Yeah. So it's food lying now. So. Yeah. And you got a couple of other, you got Kroger down here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Terrible. Okay. They'll hold your truck up and kidnap the truck. And, you know, and it's a few others too. We actually have a list. I call it my blacklist. It was, we don't go in.
Well, I got to be a blacklist, man.
Yeah. I know it, right?
Damn, you know? Okay. So you got the list of these are the places that's going to hold you, detain you, and keep you forever. How do you circumvent that? How do you get around that? So, or can you get around it?
Yeah. So, I mean, and sometimes you might have to do what you have to do, because I ain't, you know, you can't never say what you won't have to do, because at the end of the day, I'd rather have something than nothing.
That's a fact.
You know, so I'm not going to say I won't go into any one of those shippers or receivers, but it would be a last resort, you know? So, but for the most part, like I said, the corridor we work in, which sits right in the middle of Charlotte and Atlanta, we haven't had too much of a problem finding freight. It has slowed down a little bit, but this is just, it happens. It's an industry thing, you know. It slows down, it speeds up.
Yeah.
And we'll have days where I said, man, I need more drivers. You know, we can't even cover all the calls that are coming in, you know.
Right.
So, you know, you just have to stay consistent with it and just be on your P's and Q's, you know, stay on that board. You know, the loads are there.
How do you know what's a good load? You said earlier, making sure that the load makes sense. What do you know? What makes a load make sense?
So monetary reasons is going to be a big key. So if I, like, say, for instance, if I'm picking up a load and I'm getting $700 for it and I can pick it up, drive it 170 miles, get it off like that, you know. And guess what? I can book another load coming out of, you know, the reverse for $700-$800 more, you know? And that's, you know, look at that quota, that's $1,500-$1,600 for the day that my truck is made. You do that times five, do the math on that, you know?
Right.
So that's what you want to look at, you know, can you get the load on and off? How the load is going to land, you know, like I say, which shipper or receiver is going in and coming out of, and so on and so forth. If I know that I'll take a load that pays less, if I can get it on and off of me really quick and get something else, because I'd rather take a low-paying load that's going to run through and come right off than take a high-paying load that's going to shut my truck down for the day and doesn't give me a chance to double up, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just those type of dynamics that you want to look at when you booking loads and freight.
Gotcha. And all dry vans, you said, right?
Oh, yes. All drive.
How many trailers now?
31 trailers.
31 trailers, yes, and sir. You said 20-something trucks?
Yeah, 22 trucks.
22 trucks. All right, cool. Let's talk about, you said earlier you offer a course.
Yep.
What's that about? What made you decide to offer a course? Where'd that come from?
Yeah, so I used to get a lot of questions, okay? And I used to give this information away, you know? And people would, they would just ask me, man, how did you do it? Like, you know, how can I go into business? Or how do I do this? How do I do that? I said, you know what? I'm gonna just implement a course, you know, and provide it and give it, you know, where it can be, you know, where I can purchase it and do what they need to do. And it's informative, you know?
Right.
So it skipped you a lot of the bumps and bruises that I went through, you know, starting out in business.
What does the course teach you how to do?
So the course, we have two segments so far, okay? The second segment hasn't launched. It'll be launched within the next week here, which is the dispatching segment. But I started with the trucking startup, okay? It tells you how to go in and set up your company, so on and so forth, how to you know, with the finance companies, things of that nature, what to look for when you're getting your unit, how to put the guys into the seat and go on, so on and so forth.
But, okay.
Like, it's a lot.
Is this Von's blueprint?
It,
I hope you're hitting Von off a percentage of
this. It's a general blueprint, Von, but I'm not going to lie. See. You know, it's, Von gave us the game, man. He definitely gave us the game and looked out for us, man.
For sure. So how big do you plan to grow 250 Logistics?
You know, I always have thought about that, and I don't really have an answer to that. You know, I just kind of go with the flow, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've had times, and my sister laughs about it now. I remember I told her, when we get to 10 trucks, I'm done. I don't want any more trucks, you know, because you have your headaches day in and day out sometimes. Right. So she said, yeah, I heard that before, you know, and now we at 22. So I can't say, you know, honestly, you know, I did have I'll be honest, I had a 10-year plan coming home. So I would like to be making some sort of exit, you know, maybe, you know, and I'm 5 years in now. So, and after that 10 years, you know, because I don't want to, you know, go so hard. You know, I want to have some time to enjoy myself, because it's a lot of work running, you know, running a trucking company. So
for sure. What's the most challenging day you had in the trucking business? Tell me something that happened.
One of the most challenging days was one of my guys, he actually rolled my truck, crashed it, and actually totaled it, okay? There was a load, so, and you, believe it or not, he was turning at a red light, wasn't going fast or anything, but you got certain loads that are in the back, and these were like paper rolls, so that weight will shift, and he was at an instance where he was at a red light, and you know how you kind of out in the middle and it's about to turn yellow, and he tried to hurry up and execute the turn, and he turned too quickly. I'm talking about it's going like maybe 10 miles an hour, and that load shifted.
Oh, wow.
And when it shifted, it took the whole truck. Yeah, and so I actually have video of this too on my Instagram of them pulling it and putting it, you know, picking the truck back up. We had to recover this truck, not only the load, you got freight claims and everything else. Not only that, I get the call from, you know, the emergency response that I got to get somebody out there and get this mess. I got to get it up, you know?
What, the so driver was okay?
Yeah, the driver was fine.
Nobody got injured?
No, nobody got injured. Okay. The driver was fine. God. That was a blessing, So, but he was fine. No one got hurt, and it just, you know, the equipment was just total. But, you know, it was scary. I mean,
that's real life. So how much did that situation cost you? If you could think back altogether.
You know what?
You had insurance.
Yeah, exactly. And it actually didn't. We have good insurance, by the way. And my insurance is through Century Select.
Okay.
And very reputable. And that's another thing when you're going. And that's another thing the course talks about, too. Reputable insurance companies and things of that nature.
Okay.
But they came in and they made everything a breeze for me. They really kind of calmed me down in the situation, because you're looking at the standing of your company when something like that happens. You're worried about, you know, could this put me out of business or so on and so forth. And you got a lot of people depending on you. These are the things you're thinking about when you're running a trucking company, you know.
Was that your first recordable accident?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So once I think I was out of pocket for my deductible, which wasn't much, it was like $1,000. So I didn't pay a lot out for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
but just in the moment, it was super scary.
It was. Yeah. Just a lot of stress to deal with, you know? So, and matter of fact, I end up buying the salvage off of it and everything, the trailer and everything, cause they salvaged it out, total out, and I was able to purchase it back. So, and I used the unit for parts and training purposes, you know?
Gotcha.
So yeah, it's everything works to your benefit. And I'll say that when you think everything is working against you, and it may seem like it at the moment, but something is working for your good, you know, in that. So you can always take something good, even out of a negative experience. You know,
as an entrepreneur, what do you think is your biggest strength?
My biggest strength is as an entrepreneur, I will have to say my drive. Okay. I have a lot of drive. I got like one of those mentalities where I just won't stop, you know, and you have to have that in business, because you're gonna get beat up, man. You know, and you can't stop. You have to keep going.
So, what about weakness?
Weakness, I would say weakness. That's a good question. So with my weakness, I would say maybe, you know, I do get frustrated sometimes, you know? And so you have to calm yourself down and think rationally before you move or, you know, make a rash decision or anything like that. So
got you.
That's one of the things I work on, you know?
Are you able to talk about your company's revenue?
Nah, I don't really want to talk about that right now.
I mean, could you give us an idea what ballpark
you guys do? I'll give you a ballpark. We do six figures a month easily.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm a nosy guy, man.
It's okay.
Now, this is what the people want to know.
Exactly.
That's why I got to ask these questions. Six figures a month.
Yeah.
All right, beautiful, man. Great story. What else do I need to know from you? Oh, okay. So we talked about the course. We talked about that. And you said that's out now, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, the dispatch course. All right, cool. I think we pretty much covered it, man. Is there anything else that I left out? We got the whole story, right?
Yeah, I think you did.
Solid. All right, so, you know, as we wrap, we always have to make sure that we, number one, get your final thought. Which is basically like something entrepreneurial, spiritual, whatever you want to leave the audience with, just a nice little jewel, a bar, whatever. And then lastly, let everybody know where they can connect with you and learn more about yourself, and then 250 Logistics. Yeah. So start with where everybody can connect with you, and then we'll go into that final thought.
Okay.
And wrap up.
Okay. Once again, I'm Demetrius Martin, 250 Logistics. You can connect with me at 250logistics.com. You go on there, you'll see everything you need to see on the website. You can also hit me at my Instagram, 250 Logistics, on Instagram and Facebook as well. And as far as leaving something.
Final thought.
Yep. Final thought. I got to tell the audience this. You out there, you going through it. The main thing is, as I said before, don't quit, okay? You find your niche, you find your sweet spot and whatever you're doing, and you keep going. Don't let anybody hinder you. Don't let anybody tell you you can't do this, you can't do that. You stay consistent and go hard, and it'll pay off in the end. I guarantee it. Yeah.
No doubt, man. No doubt. If this story don't motivate you, I don't know what will, man. This brother came from doing Fed time. Yeah. So now he's doing anywhere from $100,000 to $900,000 a month, somewhere. So somewhere in that range. But we know what's up there, man. Listen, Hustle Fam, if you don't respect that, your whole perspective is whack. You know what we do around this time. If you smell something burning, it's only a desire. Myself, Demetrius, 250 Logistics, we are out.
If you twisted, confused, or stuck about trucks, don't be dumb. This is the place to come. Truck and Hustle. Let's go.